Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Got a great show lined up for you today. Ready? Here's a guest for you, me. I'm going to talk to you today about the clues you might need a second opinion. You know, I get this question often. You know, people come in, they say, look, I'm not sure if I'm on the right track. How can I know if I'm doing the right things? So, but before we get there, let's back up and let's look at some of the clues that may be a sign that you need to have somebody take another look at what you're doing. So how do you know that? How do you know that maybe there's something rotten in Denmark? How do you know that there might be something that needs to be fixed or changed? You know, when we hire somebody to help us manage our money, you know, you're counting on that person and their firm to make sound recommendations that are appropriate for you, to do that on the front end, to understand your situation, what you're trying to accomplish, you know, what are your goals and objectives, what do you want to do, and then match that up with the right types of investments or financial products. It's not a one-time event. Then there is ongoing recalibration, reevaluation. There are new monies that come into your plan. There are inheritances. There are sales of property. There are things going out to pay for college or to fund certain things or to buy that second home. There's a constant flowing in and out of a financial plan. And on top of that, there is the activity or performance or lack of performance of the investments and the greater market and how things play out. So all of those things can shift or cause the machinery to get out of whack. Have you ever heard your washing machine? What happens if it gets all the clothes get over on one side? It sounds like the thing's about to fly apart, and you have to run in there and open up the lid and adjust the laundry so it's more evenly balanced. Well, guess what? That's what your portfolio may require by no fault of your own. You didn't put the tennis shoe over on one side of the washing machine. It got there itself. But anyway, the point is that there are going to be ongoing things that need to be done. And if you've hired an advisor to assist you, then that's part of their job, is to do that recalibration, as I described, to not only take into account something that's changed in your lifetime or in your situation, but also for, you know, the other events. So what are the clues? How do you know that you may need to do that? Okay, well, there's some that are obvious, and then there are some that maybe are not so obvious. So let's talk a little bit about those, and I'll share these with you from my own personal experience. And I did a calculation, a rough calculation the other day, and I've figured since I've had my own firm that I've done about 750 second opinions for people. So I've talked to a lot of people about the need for a second opinion as they've expressed those concerns to me. So while it may not be empirically or statistically valid, it is at least what I can share with you from my own experience. So number one, and these are in no particular order, just some of the different things that may be clues that you need a second opinion about your finances. Number one, communication. It always boils down to that, doesn't it? Communication. I'm going to assume that in this section, they were talking about somebody who's working with an advisor, because there's got to be two parties for the communication to occur. If you're managing your money yourself, you know, then maybe this is in relationship to the, you know, maybe the firm that you're using to do that with. But we're going to assume it's an advisor you're working with. Do phone calls to your advisor go directly into voicemail? Can you ever catch the advisor actually on the phone? Does somebody answer the phone? Or is it a personal cell phone that you always have to leave a message on? Do you feel your calls are returned promptly? You know, there's been industry studies or surveys done for the financial industry that, you know, how quickly most people expect to be their call return. And some people a little more anxious than others might expect a call within a few hours or might expect a call the same day. But most, you know, something like 90-some% of people expect that a call to the advisor will be returned within 24 hours. So that's the average. Have there been other communication issues? Another one is, does the advisor always seem to have to check and get back with you, whatever the question is? In other words, can they not ever answer your question when you reach them? Is it always, well, let me get back to you on that? That's another question mark. You know, if the advisor always has to double check, then maybe you're not talking to the right person. I mean, if they always have to double check, there could be things that are lost in translation. It is an imperfect world. You ever play the telephone game? You know, sometimes things get lost in translation. So communication could be a clue that, you know, you might just want somebody double check. And what I just described to you were literally things that people have said to me that have come in to visit with me and said, you know, the communication's not good. I just don't feel like I'm getting the response I need. And I'd like somebody else to take a look just to make sure I'm on the right track. It raises a question. Next is what I call disclosure and latitude, or lack of disclosure and lack of latitude could be a reason to get a second opinion. Has your advisor forthrightly disclosed all fees and expenses? Do you feel like you've got a good handle on what it's costing you for your portfolio to be managed? I get this question a lot. I don't know that there's been a question, they saw something on the statement, they're just don't it doesn't make sense, and they say, you know what, I need to have this looked at. And, you know, if you're not sure, then you definitely want to get it checked. Did your advisor adequately disclose their compensation? This seems to be an area, and I don't understand why. I just don't get it. But it's like this taboo thing that, for some reason, people don't press or push the advisor to know what they're compensated. And for some reason, a lot of advisors just don't volunteer what they are going to charge or what they will be paid for handling and advising the client's account. And it's not a mystery. It's not a big deal. But if you don't get that clarity, I think that's a question mark. And if there's no disclosure, the question is, why not? And if you aren't clear on what it's costing you, or if the advisor doesn't know or hasn't told you, okay, here's kind of a loaded question. If the advisor doesn't tell you what the investments cost, maybe they haven't looked at it closely enough themselves, how can they know it's a good investment for you if they don't know what the investments cost? You know, I can tell you exactly what the portfolio costs. If I've got a growth portfolio that I'm going to manage for a client, I can tell you exactly to the percentage what that's going to cost. It's not difficult. It's, hey, here's the cost, the average cost of the no-load funds that I'm going to recommend. Here's what it costs. So if there's not enough attention to these details, that may be a warning sign or a cause for a need to review. Now, another one is, if there's not a lot of attention on this, it may be because there's not a lot of choices. Maybe there's not a lot of latitude where the advisor works. You know, certain firms, they're going to offer certain products, and it may be they only have certain things that are available to the advisor, and especially if they work for a brokerage firm, a broker-dealer, a wirehouse, or a bank securities division, those firms have a range of choices available to the folks that work for them. And those are the approved offerings of the firm. And if the advisor works for that firm, that's what's available. So these are the questions that you need to think about. And this may be a reason to get another advisor to review where you are, take another look. And then third is the gut check. I can't tell you how many people have come into me and said, you know, something just doesn't seem right. Their gut is telling them. Now, you know, we don't really have a brain in our stomach, okay? But it is the sense that something's not right. Our gut is our intuition. It's our life experiences. You know, I did a financial seminar the other day. This is pretty funny. And a guy, after I finished the presentation, I had a lot of questions. I was walking around just, you know, stopping by, talking to everybody. And this guy leans over to me and he goes, you know, I don't know who I can trust. I don't know do I trust the banks? Do I trust the insurance companies? Do I trust the investment firms? Hey, I don't even know if I can trust you. I said, you know what? You're right. You don't know. I said, his response was, well, I don't know enough about this to know who's telling me the truth or who's shooting straight with me. And you know what? He's absolutely right. But then my response then was, but you do have your life experiences. You do have, however old you are, whoever you are, it doesn't matter that you haven't done finances. You don't have to be if you're a financial planner, you've dealt with finances all your life, what do you need a financial advisor for, right? So, but you do have your life experiences. You've interacted with people. You've dealt with people. And what you then have to do is evaluate if there's something that doesn't make sense. I had another person come in the other day asking me for a second opinion. She said, you know, the advisor just started talking and kind of double talking and walking around what I was asking him, and it made me very uncomfortable. And she's come in now for a second opinion. You know, she may be on the right track, and that's what a second opinion is all about. It may be that she's on the right track and she doesn't need to change anything, but just, you know, why not? And there's a lot of advisors out there that are qualified advisors who can give you a second opinion, and a lot of them don't even charge or don't charge very much to do that. So those are some initial clues I have for you. I'm going to grab a quick break. We come back. I've got more for you. Have you experienced losses in the market when the overall market's going up, or have your investments done very well, even though the market has done badly? Well, these are some signs. Let's talk about them after the break.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. Glad to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. Have more clues for you. I teed it up there before the break. So how about this? You experienced losses while the overall stock market's going up. Just had this. A gentleman came in and said, he was referred by two existing clients of mine. He said, you know, I just don't understand. My account's down. The overall market's up. What gives? I said, well, okay. I can tell you what gives, but let me make copies of what you have. Let me do an analysis, and we'll sit down and we'll talk again. So let me set it up for you. Let's say that I'm not saying that your performance should match the market. That's not the point here. It may be better or worse. And what market are we talking about? Are we talking about the S&P 500? Are we talking about the Dow? Are we talking about the NASDAQ? Are we talking about, you know, what are we talking about when we say the market? Your portfolio ideally should not be in lockstep with the S&P 500. If that's what you want, or if that would be appropriate, then you don't need an advisor. You don't need mutual funds. Just buy the Spider Index, SPY, and be done with it. But that's not really a diversified portfolio, and that's not what we're looking for. Now my point is that if the market's up 10% for the year. So let's say for 2014, the stock market was up, we'll use 10%. That's not the exact number, but close enough. Let's say that the market was up 10% and your account's down 10%. Okay, that would be a warning sign. Something's wrong. Now, what if your account was up 7 or up 12, somewhere around that 10, or even up 5, okay, or maybe even up 4, depending on the amount of risk you're taking and where your money's allocated. And maybe you've had a few investments that did better or worse. That's all understandable. But if you have thought you were investing for growth and you've got a portfolio that is 20% different than the market in general, I think that is reason enough to say I need a second opinion. And it could be a variety of explanations for these divergent returns, but none of them are good, okay? Number one, the portfolio could be poorly diversified and concentrated in areas that perform badly. If you had a lot of energy stocks in 2014, you saw the second half, a lot of loss or reduction in values. Number two, you could have a few individual holdings that had very large losses. Let's say you purchase one particular company, or it was purchased for you and it did very badly. That could cause your whole portfolio. You could have had all positive returns except for that one stock, and it could have crowded out the performance of all the other investments. Or it could be that your investment funds are poorly rated or have very high fees. You know, Morningstar ranks mutual funds and stocks on a 1-5 basis, with 5 being the highest, 1 being the worst. If you've got all 1s, 2s, and 3s, that means that those funds or stocks had less performance for the same amount of risk, or took on more risk for the same amount of performance versus funds like them. So they were at the bottom end of the barrel. Well, that's going to affect your performance. That's going to mean, so if that's the case, there's a problem. You know, Morningstar is an independent research company, and a lot of advisors turn to them for their ranking and analysis of investments. And I'm a big believer in looking at that. And if I've got something other than a 4 or 5 Morningstar rated fund in my portfolio. I don't have it because it's a two. I don't have it because it's a one. I've got it for another reason. In other words, I didn't pick it because it was a two. We're picking fours and fives absent a very, very good reason. And fees, if you've got have very high fees, that can weigh on your portfolio in a big way. I've had people come in and say, you know, something doesn't seem right. And then we discover by doing our analysis that their portfolio is 3-4% or more a year in expenses. Well, guess what? That's going to definitely weigh on the portfolio. Here's another one that could be an explanation, which is also not good, and that is for poor performance when the market's up, and that is somebody's trying to time the market, which is very difficult to do. Or there's, I hate to say it, but it still happens, there's churning, where the positions are being bought and sold solely to generate a commission, not because it's an intent to put you into something superior for your investments. So there are a lot of different possible explanations, but if you see what I call these divergent returns, where it's out of whack, where the market did well and you didn't, or you did opposite, went down 10%, market's up 10, that's definitely a clue that you might need a second opinion. Now, related to that, which this one might surprise you, but it's also very interesting, another clue could be that you are getting consistent gains and never any losses. You say, well, wait a minute, David, that sounds really, really good to me. Boy, that sounds good. Well, be careful what you wish for. You might end up like Walter. Walter came to me a few years back, and he had come in for kind of a pre-retirement planning meeting with me to talk about his situation, just kind of make sure his ducks in a row. He really wanted to look at where he was, have that second opinion, make any adjustments he might make before he retired. And so we sat down. I'll never forget this as long as I live. We sat down. We looked at his investments. He had statements. I have a list of the things I want people to bring me so I can review with them and talk about it. He brought in statements on all of his accounts. He'd done a good job of being organized. He had all of that. And we started going through it. And he had statements. They're nice, neat, clear on all of his holdings except one, which happened to be his largest account. His statements were kind of incomplete. They didn't really make any sense to me. And he said, well, I don't have an explanation for you on why I don't have complete statements. I'll have to see if I can get one. But he had been getting performance reports. He goes, I've got the performance reports on the account. Here it is. Here they are. And he was very proud. The account, this particular investment account that he didn't have the complete statements on, but the report showed that he had made 18% average return per year for a long time. And pretty much sidestepped all of the major market pullbacks and took full advantage, of course, of the market run-ups in different points, the bull markets. Okay, so you can already tell. I was skeptical. I was like, well, you know what, Walter? This is not enough. I need to see the actual statement. And to be completely honest, I was kind of curious. How is somebody doing this? Because that's remarkable. And I'm still learning myself. I'd like to see how this person is generating these kinds of returns. Okay, so Walter said, I'll see what I can do. So I didn't hear from him for a while. Then a few months later, he came back in and he said, I have a problem. There had been a major story that broke and it was in the newspapers. There had been a major financial scam. The investment firm that was handling Walter's very large, high-performing account was at the center of it. There was no 18% average return. There was no account. And this was his largest holding. Walter thought he had $1 million in that investment account. All of his contributions, all of his reinvested gains, all of his additional contributions to that account were gone. So last I talked to Walter, he was going to work probably as long as he physically could, and he and other victims of the scam were pursuing lawsuits and other things to try to get something back. But if your returns are too rosy, they may not be real. And I hate to say that that's something that you have to be on guard for, but that is. So if it's too good to be true, well, as they say, it might just be. More clues on the way. We'll grab a quick break when we come back. I want to talk about advisor changes that you might need to be aware of that might be also another sign that it's time for a second opinion. Stay right there.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
Hi there. Hope you're enjoying the program today. A little different approach here. I wanted to give you some real-world things to think about, some more clues for you. And these really center in on advisors and how they work. And again, I do not pick on other advisors. I don't beat them up when people come in and meet with me. I just have seen a lot of this, and I hate to see people get hurt when things are, well, just maybe not the best they could be. So how about this? Let me go to another one for you. About face. That's my next one for you. A clue that you may need a second opinion. Let's say that your advisor has been recommending XYZ company, a fictitious company, of course, I'm using it as an example. And you've heard all about how wonderful XYZ company is and how good it is for you. And then out of the blue, your advisor starts recommending another company. We'll call it ABC company. Okay. So that's a change, right? So it would be wise to ask some questions of the advisor, like, why are you no longer recommending XYZ company? Why are you recommending ABC? Did you look at other companies? How many? Tell me about your selection process. You know, is there a reason? Why the change? Talk to me. Walk me through it. Listen carefully. Get that gut check listening while that is explained to you. And here's a great one. Will I have to pay a fee? Will it cost me something to get out of XYZ and get into ABC? On both sides. Okay, tell me about that. And then, very revealing here, here we go. Will you receive compensation from either transaction? If so, how much? Again, don't be bashful about this. This is important. You want me to get out of XYZ? Okay, and there's no cost or very little, fine. But will I have to pay to get into ABC? Maybe XYZ is okay. This, again, maybe is a reason to get a second opinion. Now, there can be many good reasons why advisors change companies or products they recommend. You know, in the financial industry, here's the inside scoop, there are people that are called headhunters, as there are in other industries, they're recruiters, and their job is to go and get somebody that is a successful financial person working for another firm to be headhunted, to be hired, the recruiters paid to go and get them and find them and talk to them and convince them to move from one firm to another. And in so doing, the recruiters paid, and often there is what's called an incentive package, a compensation, a finder's fee, or whatever you want to call it, a money to make that move, seed money, whatever you want to call it. So the advisor might be paid to move from one company to another, a bonus just for making the change and bringing their clients with them. Well, that's something you want to know why that is. And now the other part of this, there are other reasons why advisors might change their recommendations. I mentioned this earlier, Morningstar. Let's say that there are certain mutual funds your advisor likes, but maybe something's happened at that fund. Maybe the ratings have gone down. You know, we saw all the tumult with PIMCO of late, where there was the big exodus and Bill Gross went from PIMCO over to Janus. Hey, that's a reason maybe why the advisor might say, hey, I'm not comfortable with PIMCO anymore for whatever reason, and I'm going to start recommending another. Maybe they want to recommend Janus because they really love PIMCO, or really love Bill Gross and what he did at PIMCO. Or they might say, I don't like this disruption. I don't like this tumult. I don't like this. I'm going to go find something else that I think would be better. I'm not going to work with either one of them. I'm going to go find another one that I feel more comfortable with. That's another good possible reason. But I think the key is that you want to know why. And is there any cost? Now, if you're paying somebody a fee to manage your account and they're recommending changing from one no-load fund to another, there probably shouldn't be much of a fee there because, or a cost, because you're paying a fee for the service. So there, you know, shouldn't be an incentive for that, but you do want to understand it. And if you can't get answers to these questions about some of the changes that the advisor is making in their recommendations, then you might want to get that second opinion. Now, here's another one that's really interesting. And it's another clue. And it's actually kind of a convenient clue. What if your advisor is facing retirement? Hey, advisors get to retire too. We get to retire someday. And so that's a good thing, right? I mean, that's a good thing. So you'll but if that's the case, you might want to reevaluate your situation when that time comes. Now, you've got eyes. You can tell maybe when your advisor is getting closer to retirement age. Okay, there's nothing implied about that. Let's just call it what it is. If your advisor is showing signs of wear and tear, okay, they're getting it beyond their manufacturer's warranty, there's nothing wrong with you saying, okay, let me think about this. Who is going to be the next person to advise me where the advisor works now? Is there somebody else that will take over? Or if it's an independent firm, and is there an heir apparent? Is there somebody that's going to be the next in line? There's nothing wrong with your looking out for yourself. Is there going to be somebody else? Maybe you take the opportunity to try to get to know them or learn more about them. Or maybe it's a time to say, you know, maybe I'll have somebody else take a look. And if you've worked with the advisor, if there's loyalty to the advisor, that's completely understandable. But you may want to take that opportunity to look around, see what else is available. You know, these are all clues that you can use. And these are not the only clues, but these are all good reasons to look at your situation and say, maybe I need to reevaluate. And I can tell you that if, and again, back to that gut, because that's really the one, if you've got something that has shaken your trust in your advisor, if there's been something that just didn't make sense, I can tell you that the number of people that have come in to ask me for a second opinion, you know, their gut brought them in. And then the next time I met with them, I was able to say, well, guess what? Here's why your gut was right. Here's what was going on. You felt something wasn't right. Well, here, let me show you now the facts. Let me show you what you were picking up on and why you had that sense about you. And there could be a lot of different warning signs that may be triggering that. Now, let me give you the flip side. There may be nothing wrong. It could just been a little wrinkle or ripple in the relationship. It may be nothing wrong with what's being done for you, but that's why you get that second opinion, because if you've got a question of trust, it's got to go one way or the other, right? You either need to reaffirm the trust, or you need to maybe decide it's time to do something different. So it should be one or the other. You're at an impasse, or you're at a point that's not a good place to be to operate from. If I don't have trust in my doctor, I may get a second opinion to confirm what is being shared with me about whatever I might want to, what needs to be done. Same thing with your finances. So there's our program for today. Thanks for being with me, and be sure to tune in next time.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.